The church's purpose is one where we're commanded by God in Scripture to love God and love others. The order here is important. It's no different than what Jesus instructed in Matthew 22 and was pulled from Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Loving God first with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength, followed by loving others as we love ourselves. Our vertical relationship with our Creator is paramount to our horizontal relationship with others. So that being said, let's start there in prayer. Lord, we welcome your presence here in this room today. We ask that your Holy Spirit fall in this place and that your word is revealed to us plainly. We desire to learn of your goodness, your grace, and your overflowing love. We ask that you give us strength and that we embody your peace and that we overflow with the hope and mercy and love that you showed all of your children. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was saying, the love that we experience through our vertical relationship with the Lord overflows into the love we share horizontally with those around us. I've got my sunglasses on too. Man, I'm not with it this morning. Let me start over. As we were saying, the love that we experience vertically carries out in the love we share horizontally. But it's not our love. It's the love of God that flows into and through us. Remember, it's all about positioning and alignment. We can do none of this without the righteousness attributed to us by faith in Jesus. Over these next few weeks, we're going to take a look at that vertical horizontal relationship and extend it out through our church's vision statement of grow, go together. This week, I'm talking about grow. Next week, Pastor Virgil will be back, thank God. And we'll cover go. The following week, Ray will be up here sharing about how we can do that together. The reason we're harping on these concepts is because we desire for all of you to stand firm in agreement about what the Lord is doing in your lives and in New Life Church through this very specific vision statement. Here it is in its entirety. We're called to grow relationships rooted in Christ. Go share that love of Christ in our communities together as the church. So grow, what I'm talking about today, focuses solely on developing our vertical relationship with the Lord, our discipleship. Grow and together build upon that as we develop our growth individually, and it overflows in how we as a church body approach the world around us. It's a practical application of loving God and loving others. I want to thank all of you for your kind words from my last sermon where I shared a bit about my testimony. I know it was pretty raw, but I did pray that through it, someone would be impacted and that you develop and hone your own ability to share your testimony with others. That growth individually that we experience is our testimony. We share that testimony as we go out into the community and share God's love of us with others. So our testimonies are an integral part of our church's vision. But I'm covering grow today, so I really wanted to share a small part of my testimony about where my relationship with the Lord really began. It was in a small room, a small classroom at the Presbyterian church that I grew up going to. I was young. I was probably 5 or 6, and I remember distinctly sitting with my father in that room and reading Proverbs. He had us, me and my younger brother, when he was able to understand, go through and analyze Proverbs and the wisdom found on the words on the pages. So what better way to grow than to start with a proverb? This is the first proverb, Proverb 1, verse 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For learning wisdom and discipline, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving prudent instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. Let a wise person listen and increase learning, and let a discerning person obtain guidance. For understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. This last part's really important. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Remember, we've talked about this before. The fear of the Lord is a reverent posture in relationship to Him. Our knowledge comes from the Lord through our vertical relationship with Him. Knowledge is good, but knowledge through relationship with the Lord and our understanding of how to wield that knowledge as we share our love, God's love, with others is true wisdom. So it's no wonder that there's a ton of wisdom found in the Proverbs and through parables. Jesus used parables frequently in his teachings throughout all the Gospels. So I'm going to start with one today. This is the one we're going to focus on today. And listen, Meredith was up here and she already preached my sermon and she really made me think that, man, I needed to change the scripture I used, but this is what I've got for you today. So John 15:1-8. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. So we're going to dig into this a little bit today. And listen, we could spend weeks and maybe an entire year just on this piece of scripture, but I'm going to do my best to share God's word expeditiously. The vine is an apt metaphor for growth. Jesus shares some basic fundamentals of vineyard propagation here and in throughout the scriptures. He shares these with the disciples and those that are listening. So today we're going to focus on some simple life cycles of growth. Preparing the ground, protecting the seedling, promoting growth, pruning, and producing fruit, and how all of this applies to our relationship with Jesus and his desire to equip us to go and make disciples of all nations. One of the most important aspects of a healthy vineyard is the soil. Soil quality is so important that the diversity found in the soil can reveal a lot about the fruit it produces and where it came from. So much so that a sommelier is a wine specialist, someone that studies wine, just so you understand what that word is. So much so that a sommelier can taste the region of the world from which a particular wine comes from. Even more so, they can tell a particular vintage based on the other environmental conditions present at the time it was plucked from the vine. Maybe especially rainy season. Maybe there was a forest fire in the area. Soil condition is vitally important for healthy growth. Jesus, in another parable, shares about our own soil. Matthew 13:3-9. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the bird came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came, it was scorched, and since it had no roots, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still other seed fell on ground, good ground, and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen. So growth starts with our soil composition, the preparedness of our hearts to receive Jesus. Just like this parable, the seed that's sown in our lives competes against the things that we place in importance above it. Hard, rocky, and thorn-filled soil in our lives creates an inhospitable environment for growth. But there is hope for us through our relationship with Jesus that we might begin to cultivate a fertile, nutrient-dense soil that produces a vineyard of abundance, overflowing with God's goodness in our lives. Hosea 10:12 says this, "Sow righteousness for yourselves and reap faithful love. Break up your unplowed ground. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes and sends righteousness on you like the rain." These seeds planted on fertile soil are a gift from a loving God. He desires that what he sows into us will reap a harvest of 30, 60, 100-fold. We must desire to grow our relationship with him, drive our roots down deep into the fertile soil, and he promises to protect us as we grow. He has a plan and a purpose for our growth, to produce fruit for his kingdom. Anyone here that started a garden knows this. Seedlings are some of the most fragile plants, subject to harsh elements, pests, and predators. Seedlings can quickly be plucked out of the ground and devoured. But the word gives us hope in his promises. Psalms 32:6-7 says this. "Therefore, let anyone who is faithful pray to you immediately. When great flood waters come, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with joyful shouts of deliverance." Prayer is our direct communication with the Lord. Through intercession of the Holy Spirit, it's our protection from harm in the midst of our growth. Given ideal growing conditions in fertile soil, protection from the elements and predators, and proper watering of the word, seedlings begin to grow. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-3 says this. "In addition, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and guard you from the evil one." This passage shares the key elements: prayer and protection and his provision sustain optimal conditions for growth in relationship with the Lord. I don't have this on your slides, but verse 5 continues with this. It says, "May the Lord direct your hearts to God's love in Christ's endurance." It completes the illustration that our growth begins and ends with your vertical relationship with the Lord. So after the soil has been prepared and the seedling has sprouted, the gardener prepares for a season of rapid growth. We must allow ourselves to move past our early understanding of our relationship with the Lord and move toward a more complete connection with him that desires fruit production. We enter this season with the vulnerabilities of seedlings, but the aspirations of a vine full of grapes. However, we cannot rely on elementary teaching, nor can we remain in the ignorance of the truth that we understand poured out in these pages. Hebrews 6:1 says this, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith in God, teaching about ritual washings, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. If we will do this, if God permits." The passage that precedes this one at the end of Hebrews chapter 5 warns of the problems of immaturity in our relationship with Christ. It juxtaposes immaturity and maturity with milk and solid food. The solid food that God desires us to consume will help us distinguish between good and evil. The passage that follows this in chapter 6 warns against those who come to faith and a deeper understanding of the relationship with the Lord, but who fall away or become lazy. It continues by sharing an illustration about soil and rain and blessings and curses. So I encourage you to go back and read Hebrews 5 and 6 for some additional context here. But it's pivotal that you engage in a season of rapid growth in preparation for your branch to bear fruit and to be harvested for God's kingdom. Sunday is an amazing time of worship and to receive God's word, but it isn't sufficient alone for your rapid growth, nor is milk sufficient to sustain an adult. Babies can only survive on milk for a time, and then they too have to transition to solid food. Hebrews 5:13 says this, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child." I'm not here to call anyone out, but I am here sharing a word that the Lord gave me so that his word might be convicting and convince you to reflect on yourself and seek the Lord in his wisdom. Pastor Virgil mentioned it too recently. I have to live my sermons before I preach them. The Lord is constantly sifting me, causing me to till my own ground in preparation for a new season of growth. So I encourage you to ask the Lord, "Lord, what might you reveal in me where I've been relying on milk? I desire your solid food." All right, going back to our original passage in John 15, verses 5 and 6 says this, "I am the vine, you are the branches, the one who remains in me." Another translation say abides in me. We sang that song this morning, and that song always wrecks me. But it goes on, it says, the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. There it is again. Our vertical relationship with the Lord is vital to our growth and fruit production. But the warning is that if a branch doesn't produce fruit, it can be cut off from the vine and cast into the fire. It sounds pretty harsh. But here's the thing. This isn't a solo endeavor. We aren't producing the fruit on our own. Sometimes someone is pruned away from the body and grafted into another church body. We've seen some of that lately. But we must rejoice in the Lord when this happens. Sad as it is, but we must rejoice because God is glorified in it. But here's the kicker from this passage. The branches themselves, you and me, don't have the capacity to produce fruit in absence of the vine. The vine is grounded in the fertile soil. It is cultivated by the gardener and is protected by prayer and a deep understanding of the word. He makes it so easy for us. Sometimes we miss his gift in the middle of it. So let's go back to verses 1 through 4 in John 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit." Pruning. That is the promised gift here. Of course, our relationship with Christ is our most cherished gift. But through our relationship with Christ, him in us, he produces fruit through us. And through additional pruning that he does in us, he gives us the ability to produce more fruit. Here we get back to our parable of the sower, reaping a harvest of 30, 60, 100 times the input. If the growth you've experienced to this point wasn't fun enough, we're getting to the really good part, and that's the producing fruit part. After the vine has been established in fertile soil, the gardener trains the vine and prunes the branches to his liking. He understands the positioning and proximity of all the branches working together in unison to produce the most delicious fruit imaginable. And when the time is right, harvest season is upon us. The fruit is ripe and it's plucked from the vine. It's prepared and bottled into a beautiful wine. Remember, the wine is flavored with a composition of the soil and the care that the gardener took in producing a sturdy and healthy vineyard. He is glorified in the result of his harvest. This is one reason why when we take the sacrament, or even when I enjoy the occasional glass of wine with my wife or with friends, that I reflect on the care that comes before consumption, the toil and the cultivation and the sacrifice that is poured into that cup, that I may benefit from the purpose of its production and that God may be glorified in it. John 15:8 says this, "My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples." Our relationship with God, our Father, Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit must be rooted deep And through that, we are able, by the grace of God, to bear fruit, ripe for harvest and crafted for his kingdom purposes. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 says this, "The person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is in the Lord, is blessed. He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends its roots out toward the stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit." Deep roots protect us against the enemy that seeks to choke out our growth and stifle fruit production. But don't lose sight of the gardener. We might do so and think that we're the ones able to produce the fruit on our own. Remember, absent from the vine, we are branches and cuttings that will wither and dry up in the sun. We have been grafted into relationship with Jesus by the Master Gardener, our Father in heaven. John 15, 16 and 17, 16 through 17 says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. This is what I command you, to love one another." He chose you. He chose me. He chose each and every one of us to go and produce fruit, to love one another. Here's where things shift in our church's vision from grow to go together. Growth is representative of our vertical relationship with Jesus, our ability to go share the love of Christ in our community together as the church is an overflow of the growth and rootedness that we share in relationship with God through our faith in Jesus Christ. Whatever we ask in the Father's name, whatever we ask the Father in Jesus' name, he promises to give us. Our abiding in the vine is the source of our fruit production. The fruit is produced in us and through us. But here's the thing. Pastor Virgil illustrated last week that an apple falling from an apple tree, the tree doesn't get to partake of the fruit. Now, this isn't always the case from the fruit in our lives, so to speak. Sometimes our fruit lands on new soil. Maybe someone we meet in passing, and it goes away and it germinates. This person might come into relationship with the Lord as a result of the fruit that we bore. But we don't always get to witness the outcome of that seed taking root. But sometimes this happens much more closely to our orbit. We get to see our children grow up in their own faith. We get to experience the gift of grandchildren and the legacy that is established in our families. Seeds planted in those relationships grow to produce their own fruit. And we have an opportunity to witness that growth and production and rejoice with our Father in heaven. So what does growth look like for you, for New Life Church? This church's mission is to make disciples of Jesus, equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit for the work of ministry. That's the sharing of the gospel. Making disciples starts with our individual growth, and we join together to carry out the latter half of our vision and mission to share Jesus in our lives with others. Growth within these four walls looks like Sunday morning services, not only in this room, but in the rooms upstairs and the rooms all around this outside of this building. They house our little kids. It looks like our worship team that invites us to worship and prepare our hearts to hear a word from the Lord. It looks like Wednesday nights in our preteen and youth ministries, in our home groups, in our various Bible studies, in the kitchen on Sunday mornings as our wonderful team prepares something inviting to devour, as we fellowship and wait for worship to start. Looks like our welcome team, as they are the first faces that we see as we walk in the door. It looks like our deacons who serve the kingdom by serving you and the church. It looks like the individual ministries that seek to walk alongside you through some of life's most difficult challenges. I could go on endlessly, but the only way that this works is if you seek the Lord in your own life and desire his heart for his fruit to be born through your life. But here's the thing, growth only happens when you're connected to the Father through faith in Jesus. He is preparing the ground. He is pruning us for abundant harvest. The Lord is calling all of us to grow roots deep in him. Growth is a wonderful process. We can get a little dirty as rich, fertile soil is cultivated. The gardener will come and plant a seed, sometimes from the fruit produced from another branch that has come before us. That seed is protected as it grows into a seedling. He protects it against harm from predators and thorns and thistles, things that seek to choke out and steal our growth and steal precious nutrients that promote our rapid growth. The vine begins to branch out. It is pruned as the gardener sees fit, and he prepares it for fruit production. He prunes constantly as needed to produce more and more fruit, 30, 60, and 100 times over. The gardener desires a harvest to surpass the most cherished vineyards in all the world. He is the master sommelier. He can tell each and every vintage apart, and he rejoices in the wine that he creates. He is glorified in the fruit and the bounty of the harvest. He doesn't require much of us. He doesn't require much of the branch, but to remain connected to his vine and receive the blessings through the vine, a sweet, sweet righteousness. So keep your eyes trained on the gardener, grow deep roots, produce much fruit, and see God glorified through it all. Let's grow, go together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for the craftsmanship of your creation and all of these people. We thank you for the redeeming blood of your Son, Jesus. Lord, thank you for cultivating our soil, protecting us as we grow, for pruning us as you see fit. We rejoice in the fruit produced in us and through us. We simply ask that you be glorified in all of that we do. Lord, I pray that you reveal to us all areas where we have continually relied on milk to sustain us. We desire solid food in our lives and in this church. May our growth be evident to you, and may you continue to equip us as we prepare to go into our communities and share Jesus with the people we encounter. Lord, we ask that you unify your church. Move us away from being separate buildings on different street corners, and instead empower us to work together to be a shining beacon of light for the broken world around us. Most of all, Lord, we ask that you go with us wherever we may go. Your presence in